Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Ready to ditch debt, retire sooner, and live life on your own terms? Only 54% of Gen Xers feel prepared for retirement, and 22% believe they will live a comfortable lifestyle. So if you're feeling like your finances are a hot mess express, you're not alone. I'm Daylene Higgins, founder of Elevate Finances and money coach for Gen Xers. I reached my dream of retiring at 50 while helping our daughter through college, and now I want to help you do the same. It's time to stop avoiding your finances like the plague and start having confident conversations about money. Join me every week to talk about personal budgeting, debt payoff, saving for retirement, money mindset, and leaving a legacy for future generations. Okay, friends, let's talk money. Welcome to Wealthy After 40. Today's guest is Amy Kemp. She is a strategic coach known for making complicated ideas and strategies simple and accessible to all people. Over 20 years ago, Amy started a part-time networking marketing business with a well-known direct sales company and still leads an organization of more than 1,000 independent consultants and sales directors across the United States. 5 years ago, she opened the doors to a new corporation called Amy Kemp Incorporation. In this growing business, Amy uses the Habit Finder assessment tool in small group and one-on-one engagements to help leaders understand how deeply thought habits impact every part of their lives. Amy is in the process of publishing a new book. Its title is I See You, A Guide for Women to Make More, Have More, and Be More Without More Work. And this is due out in February of 2024. So welcome, Amy. I'm excited to have you here. And tell us a little bit about this book.
Well, thank you for the invitation and for letting me speak to your people today. I always consider that to be a great honor. So I would start with even the title of the book as a really good starting point of where it came from. I had met a woman at a local community event, and she's kind of a really well-known leader in our area. She sits at some pretty important tables and just has a lot of influence in our community. And I invited her for coffee. I just wanted to get to know her better. And so we sat at our little local Starbucks, and I just kind of heard her story for about an hour. And after about an hour, she kind of looked up and abruptly and kind of curtly said, "Why did you invite me here?" And really, it was without hesitation. I just said the words, "Because I see you." And she started to cry and just cried and cried and cried. And it was really interesting because she kind of like pulled herself together. I just let her cry. She wiped her tears off. She sat up straight and she said, "Thank you. So few people do." And so I wrote the book for that person who she's not really looking for like five steps to da da da. She pretty much knows what she's doing and is pretty effective at it. And she's gotten somewhere in her world. But in that, a lot of times people aren't really seeing you anymore. And I wanted the book to feel like the experience of being in a coaching engagement with me, because sometimes to move forward, that's what we need most, is just to be seen. So that's the origins of the title, and kind of what inspired writing it was really thinking about the people I serve. When I would get spooked through the writing process at different points, sometimes the words or the bigness of the publishing process feels overwhelming, but if I go back and just think about like her eyes, it's really clear what needs, the message is really clear to me. So that's the origins of the book.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And mm-hmm. You said that the book opens when you're meeting with a financial advisor.
Yeah.
And she reviews your quote plan and she tells you what?
Yeah. We have a really great financial advisor. She's like part of the team that supports us most. And we had filled out all of these forms. This was pretty early on in our relationship with her. And, you know, you fill out all the forms and all of the documents, and she reviewed them. We had our kind of meeting to figure out what we were going to do. And she arranged them neatly on her desk. I remember the chairs we were sitting in. You know, I could hear the air conditioner in the background. And she said, you all, I'm really impressed with how organized you are. You have a budget. You're not overspending. There's just one problem if you want to achieve your goals that you've set for paying for college for your three kids, these financial goals. And then she paused and she said, you're not making enough money. And I felt like all the air left the room. Like I couldn't, after those words came out of her mouth, she was talking. She kept saying, I think she was saying something like, you know, maybe you just want to pay for part of college for your kids, or you could push back your goals for retirement ages, or you could live less when you live on less when you retire. And all I heard was just like, I always say, Charlie Brown teacher, wah, 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 because I just kept hearing that sentence, you're not making enough money. And I felt really ashamed. I felt really frustrated. I had built an outwardly what felt really successful business. I was leading a growing organization and I had received lots of recognition, lots of prizes, and I was really respected within the company. I'm speaking and teaching and doing all of these things, and really genuinely pouring into the people I was leading. And so it felt really difficult to digest. I also will tell you at that time, our three kids were kind of at the height of the busyness of having kids that can't drive yet. Some of they were starting to be able to drive, but busiest seasons of travel sports, school sports. My husband is an assistant principal at our local high school. And so we didn't, I knew he couldn't make more. He was just going to get older to make more. And it wasn't really that significant of an increase. Plus, with all of the after school things and responsibilities that he has, I just knew he couldn't really add something significant that was going to make more money. And so I just kept looking around the room like, surely there's someone that's going to come in here and rescue me from this conundrum that I found myself in. And it just became really evident that it was me that was going to have to really face this and make some really different choices. Because I wasn't willing to compromise on the goals. So it was a turning point moment. And I'm grateful. I feel like that was a really brave thing for her to say. So
Well,
I've
and
thanked her.
yeah, but also brave for you to not give on your goals. You know, I think sometimes we're told, well, here's the problem, and you can't reach that goal, that it's almost easier to succumb the goal and just say, oh, okay, you know, I'm not going to do that. But where you were like, no, we have to do this. So what did you do?
That's a really great question because I think the easy answer is what did I do? But I think the bigger question became who did I have to become? Doing was really easy for me. I'm a really great doer. Work harder, you know, get more done. So I would say the first thing that I did was a lot of self-exploration. I tried to keep myself from the how for a bit because I kind of had this inkling that that was going to show up, but I knew if I focused there, I would probably get paralyzed. And so I really started to dig in. I worked with several different business coaches during this time, one of them who uses the assessment tool that I use with my clients now. And I started to really look at what was happening behind the scenes that was causing me to earn at the level I was earning. And what did I need to change about that thinking in order to increase my earnings? I would say probably I went through some real deep questions about could I increase my income without sacrificing time and energy that I really wanted to save for family. And things outside of work. I was working full-time hours, so I wasn't willing to do more than that. That was a hard line, so I knew that. I questioned, like, could I make more? Or did I have the skill set needed to make more? What did people who were making more have that I didn't have? And then I think also some questions around, is this selfish to when I already am, I'm doing really well by most people's standards. Is it selfish to want more? And what will people say if I'm already this big person in this realm and now I'm wanting more? Is that, what will that be received as? And then what I think it really got down to was just like, how have I worked so hard and not been able to do that yet? And so I really had to do some deeper diving. And I find that's true with money. I think we have a relationship with it that is lifelong. I mean, we all are interacting with it, whether we want to or not, from, until we die. And relationships don't get fixed, and you're not like, oh, I worked on that and now I'm done. It's just a consistent interaction with it. And so I had to redefine this relationship with money and how I thought about it.
Wow. So you say there's a chapter in your book called Money as a Mirror. Is that where you talk about this discovery, this change?
So it was inspired. I taught an online course titled Money is a Mirror, and it's actually still my best-selling online course of all that I've taught. And I will tell you, this is really funny, but I just reread it. I'm in this deep copy editing stage of the publishing process, and I reread it and I was like, this is actually really helpful. So that was really affirming to myself. But the premise of the chapter is that if we can remove the judgment of how we feel about our money right now and just see it as a mirror and opportunity to receive information, it's a really cool tool to actually learn a lot about yourself. So let me expand on that just a little, in that I will challenge my clients often to write out how they feel about their money right now. So your debt, your like your savings, your retirement plan, your budget, what are the feeling words that come up when you really think about your money? And in that, you will discover actually your feelings about yourself. So usually the words you use to describe your money are very much the same words that you would use to describe your relationship with how you feel about yourself. And it provides this really cool chance for you to see it with clarity that you can't see in a lot of other areas. So I'll give you an example to kind of put a little bit more concreteness to it. We recently purchased our dream house, and it's a crazy story. The guy who built it is actually his family is where I met my husband, and he passed away suddenly of a heart attack a couple of years ago. And we came upon this house, and this couple was the only couple that had ever lived here, and they were really attached to it, and they wanted certain people to have it. And we had this really beautiful exchange of this place to live that is like this dream house. Well, in the process of that, all this stuff started coming up in me around money. And I'm going to read to you, I'll actually read you this little excerpt from my journal that I wrote around this time. I said, I feel a little out over my skis and uncomfortable at this moment as we work to sell our house and to buy the new one. It brings up some old thought habits, I think, some fears of not enough, not being worthy, feeling like that house is too much for me, like I haven't really earned it yet. Maybe I don't know for sure if I deserve it. And when I really started to look at that, I realized, oh, this is not about money. This is really more about me wanting to believe that I'm worthy of this. About me growing into feeling worthy of living in this beautiful space and sharing it with the people we love. It's really more of like a journey from under-earning to abundance. And sometimes the receiving of the abundance can kind of wig us out more than the struggle. And we'll return to the comfort of the struggle, really, in some creative ways.
Yes, we're so used to
what we always do that we just keep doing it or head that way, you know, and so to make those changes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell us a little more about this habit assessment.
Sure.
And yeah, how that helps.
What it measures and all that. Yeah. It's an interesting tool. You can take it for free on my website. It's amykemp.com. You get your results right away. But basically, it's just a snapshot of your subconscious thought habits. So it measures the risk that your brain, we all have these grooves in our brain that it quickly and easily follows. As an example, maybe one of them would be this thought habit that says, I have to, I need to, I should. It's this obligation mindset. It can happen a lot with money budgets. I have to, I need to, I should save, or I should be better with my spending. And that thought habit is the underlining thought behind all of this relationship with money, for example. And we're not even aware we're doing it. We get into these grooves without knowing it. And then we're just behaving in that same groove. And so if we can identify the groove and then replace it with a more healthy, I choose to, I get to, I want to, for example, thought habit, we can really get some different outcomes. But without that deeper change, we just continue in the same path. So that's the work I do with clients, is to help them replace those thought habits that aren't serving them. And money's a fun mirror just to bring them up to the surface.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Cause yeah, I mean, there is a lot of quote worth in money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do tie our worth to money and not to who we truly actually are. So
true.
Yeah.
It's funny. I met a new friend this week. We were talking about this, but also we have a lot of like survival behaviors that show up with money. So she had been through, like, gotten out of a really abusive marriage, and she wrote a book about it. So it's a pretty public story, but she was telling me she's having a really hard time letting go of one of her businesses, even though it's not as profitable and it's not really her passion anymore. And she has many other things she's doing. And we were talking about it. And I said, well, if you look at it compassionately, that business was your survival during a really hard time. And so of course, if you're trying to let it go, your brain is screaming danger, 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 because your brain is hardwired for survival. So that lizard brain in there is just freaking out at even the thought of not having that, because it was survival. But if you can be compassionate with yourself about that, like I'll always say, when we're resisting structure. So let's say you're working with someone who's, they know they should have a budget. They know they should be saving, but they don't. Wherever you find resistance to those things, if you dig down right there, there's almost always unhealed pain. And so her not selling this business had nothing to do with logic or business. It's just all this stuff that she hadn't really dealt with. And as soon as she did, she would move forward on it quickly. So that's the cool part about money, though. If we can release the judgment and we can just be curious around it, it's like, oh, it shows you so many things that you might not know, which is really cool.
I love that word, curious. It's like, mm-hmm. be curious and, you know, for change, whatever that means.
Totally.
And it's different for everyone. So yes.
Yeah.
All right. Before we close, I have one question.
Yeah.
What is one action step, or maybe the first action step, listeners can take to either uncover these money habits, thoughts, or, you know, that are holding them back in earning or receiving?
Well, maybe I'll give you the same assignment. I'm actually leading a little group of people through that have worked through the Habit Finder with me, and we're doing a revisit, and we're kind of gearing it around their relationships with money specifically. And their first homework assignment was just to write a letter to money. So just this, it could be short and pretty surfacey. It could be angry. It could be confused. It could be like, hey, we've never met. I've been avoiding you. But maybe just like a letter you would write to someone that you'd been estranged from for a period of time. Or maybe you're writing it like your friends, but maybe you had a fight. Or maybe you felt betrayed and there was some sort of financial trauma that you haven't really worked through. And so you're just kind of in denial. Or maybe the money is attached to a different form of something that happened to you. But like I said, with any kind of relationship, we have to enter into some kind of communication with it to get it back to a healthy space. And so just writing that letter, I think, is a really great first step. We want to skip again, right to the doing, like we want to set up the budget and do all that. But sometimes it's just like, we need to take it a little slower and just become acquainted again. And maybe say, like, I'd like to do this differently. Mm-hmm. Or here we are again. I've done the same thing again. just that whole, it's like, we've got to just open the lines of communication so that it doesn't feel so stuck.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you mm-hmm. for sharing, and good luck with your book.
Thank you.
And listeners, if you want to connect with Amy, you can find her on Instagram and Facebook under Amy Kemp Inc. And go visit her website at www.amykemp.com. All those links will be down in the show notes. And thank you for being here today, Amy. We appreciate you sharing all of your thoughts and words with us.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
And this concludes the episodes for 2023. We will be taking a break for the holidays, December 2023, and we will be back with new episodes every Tuesday beginning January 2024. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear your thoughts and be able to deliver for you and better meet your needs next year.
Thanks for listening. Every week, my goal is to help you get one step closer to financial freedom and making confident decisions so your money starts working for you. Having a community of support is important to your financial success. I would love to have you join me in my free Facebook community, All Things Personal Finance. Inside this group, every live training, action challenge, and posts are filled with tips and strategies to help you progress to financial freedom. If you have questions from today's episode or want to learn more, follow me on Instagram at Elevate Finances. If you're looking for personalized support to get your finances on track, check out my website at elevatefinances.us to learn more about how I can support you with one-on-one coaching. Thanks and have a wonderful day.